I think it's in the "If These Walls Could Talk" or some shit.
Does anyone ever tell you to put your Bible on your dash while you put your gun in your lap? Does anyone ever tell you that? Is that a thing someone ever tells you?
What?
Beyonce, in one of her songs, says, "I've got my Bible on the dash and my gun in my lap," or something to that effect.
Holy fuck. Wait.
You didn't hear that
God
lyric?
God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Are you guys all recording? Is it worse than 311?
I've done Ben recording, brother. I'm going to click, 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 click.
That's what you do. That's what you do. Anybody hears the symphony of clicks? That's Robert and his mouse.
That's my 16 clickages, dude.
Hey, buddy.
Not as Stuart Little Mouse, but the other mouse.
And we made him real self-conscious about it. I did.
Yeah, now I'm gonna have to like kill myself after this episode. No, I wouldn't do that. What's the preferred nomenclature for that? That Gen Zers have come up with.
I don't
not
know.
Living.
Unlive yourself. Unliving yourself. Is it unlive? I don't know what the appropriate thing is. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Toilet?
I apologize. Skibbity Toilet's incredible. It's one of the best pieces of art I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Comment Etiquette, for showing me that very particularly artistic vision of the world. Oh my god. Skibbity Toilet, isn't it the toilet people versus the like camera heads? It's really quality stuff.
So, this is worse than 311. I got melon. 311. I just drooled it on my crotch. It's great. Pretty good.
Voice.
This is a last month roundup. That's what we're doing. That's what we call it. Because last month was March, I think.
It was.
Yeah? Okay.
The Ides of March.
Doing good. Doing all right. And I am right now listening to the new album by Scott Stapp from Creed. I didn't get a lot of time to fuck with it. I listened to it once when it came out and I was just horrified. I'm still horrified at how hard it rocks. Woo! He's like, "Nerd, the burner, the big bad." And then he talks about the devil and like heaven and apparently the Bible, you say?
Yeah, he says something about like people tell him to put his Bible down, but he won't because he's so fucking awesome.
What a fucking dipshit.
What is a dead man's trigger? That's the name of one of the songs.
A dead man's switch
is a switch that is designed to be activated or deactivated if the human operator becomes incapacitated. Perhaps that's what he meant.
I don't think he knows what he meant. I'm just real confused.
He's just hitting buzzwords for his...
This is about how easy it is to pull a gun trigger. Apparently you can set a rifle's trigger action to like super light, so it's like the lightest thing makes it go off. Yeah, that's what apparently a dead man's trigger is. According to Quora, which is a specialist website for specialists.
Well, they're using AI and shit now. It's pretty nuts. Whenever you go to Quora and like look at an answer, it'll be like a generated AI response now instead of some random Joe Schmo. Yeah.
I'd rather get a random Joe Schmo, dude, because they'll be like, "And it was this group that did it." And you'll be like, "Oh, all right. Well, that's not the question I asked, but thanks."
Until he starts telling about the Jews, and you're like, "Whoa, bro.
Please stop." That's just Elon's AI.
Yeah.
So I'm confused how the guy from Creed winds up on Napalm Records with a album that's half just like, I don't know, Creed songs.
Yeah, just
and then half heavy Creed songs, like real, but like that shitty death metal trigger drum, fake drum sound metal. You know what I'm talking about. You know, everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's just fake. You know what, I just read this thing about that type of drumming. That since it's become a thing to record your drums like that in the metal community, that now there's been like a generation of people that grew up hearing those drums and thinking that they had to play like that.
Have to play, yeah.
And so they're used to playing like that and can perform it, where before it was kind of like, maybe
it's
you need
pretty nuts.
You might need to like, get that drum machine out, you know?
This music sounds like a guy who wanted really badly to make like a Year Zero Nine Inch Nails album, but make it even more mainstream and poppy. Like, I don't know what is going on in this fucking album at all. It rubbed me so wrong. And it's like he's like the big man, right? Like, his voice is, I mean, he stole it from that one famous liberal band. What are they called? Jesus Christ. The first
Eddie
album's
Vedder
10.
And Pearl Jam Express.
Yeah, Pearl Jambalayas, you know? He stole it from that. Like, I don't think they make music anymore, though, but do they? I haven't heard an album from Pearl Jam forever. Whatever. Scott Stapp's big man voice on top of this grotesque, boring, bland 2001 soft nu metal is just so despicable. I was so upset when he was talking about Dancing in the Rain. I wanted to.
Oh my God.
I wanted a Dead Man's Trigger. I'll tell you that.
She just reminded me of like Godsmack talking about God. Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, does he just want to make more Creed albums but can't or something? Like, I don't get it. But
I just look, fucking Napalm Records. Here's some of the this isn't a good start. I'm at the bottom of their list, but. There's Wasp, which, okay, that's like 80s metal, right? Some shit. I don't know half these fucking bands. I don't want to know half these fucking bands, I don't think. Where is it? I was getting to something. There's Andrew WK, fucking Seven Dust, Scott Stapp right there, Satyricon. Which they're all right. Fucking Power Wolf. I don't really like Power Wolf at all. But there's some like metal on here. Some mostly death metal and metalcore. Just not my style of shit. I just don't know how you get Hoobastank's on. Why is Hoobastank on? Okay, so Scott Skep fits in. Yeah.
Yeah. Seven Dust.
I get it. Yeah. We're good.
Oh well, why didn't you like, say
not genre specifically on brand.
Evile. Oh, one we didn't talk about, Dragon Force is on there too. Who also had an album this month that we're not going to talk about because we don't care. We were trying to do this quick, right? Hey, Perry, is the fucking whatever album my stoned ass was talking about, was that bad? Was it better than Bad 11?
Better than bad is good. Not bad. Bad, bad, good.
Not good. Bad, not 311.
Bad, not good. No, this is absolute garbage. Way worse than 311.
Mm. Worse than 311. You hear that? You hear that, Robert? Do you agree?
Agreed,
huh? Okay, how about that? Okay, well, now I'm going back up to the top.
Well, don't
of
make
list.
Me put my Bible down, Crowder. That's all I'm saying.
You guys like the new Beyonce? Beyonce?
Cowboy Carter? Is that what the one you're talking about?
Cowboy Carter. You guys like that Beyonce? It's Beyonce.
We didn't need a goddamn Blackbird cover with two eyes. Why? Why two eyes?
Because everything's got two in it, Perry. Because everything's two heaven, two America, two country or whatever.
That fucking album cover is just Jesus Christ. Can you be more like, I'm in a photo shoot and just like, let's just throw everything on me.
I mean, it's the thing about it is like
look at
this
that
is
horse.
Like, there's nothing wrong with making an album like this at all. Like I don't it, the thing about the trolls on the internet turn this into some sort of weird racist garbage. But like, she's a billionaire, and this isn't really a country album except for when it arbitrarily chooses to be.
No.
And like, like the jingoist American stuff, it's just like, I mean, she is more American than anything else. She's a billionaire, incredibly successful and can do whatever she wants and sell records no matter what, whether or not she's shilling for Levi's jeans or not. But like, I feel like the whole concept, that cover is just like so artificial, and it's like this, oh, America's great, not great, I guess. And it's like, this is the kind of shit that gets trolls on the internet so fired up. It's like, it's clickbait. I think that an hour and 18 minute long album is just Why? Why did you make this long of an album? It's not worth that much time.
Well, there's quite a few covers, and then she goes into these stupid fucking skit things with other people where you think that she's going to have so-and-so on the album, and then it's just like a little skit before another track, and you're just like, that's it? That's it. That's all I get of Willie Nelson? Like, I'd rather listen to Willie Nelson's fucking show that he had on the album than the album.
Why is it an hour and 18 minutes? Why is it that, and here, I don't know where to start. And like, now I'm just lost because I'm so angry about it. It's not a good album.
I enjoyed the Miley Cyrus featuring track. I thought that one was enjoyable. Sure.
It was all right. It was one of the more all right ones, but here's what the thing is there's a, and I guess I'll start with the fucking the skit where they're talking about the song's called Spaghetti. They're talking about how, you know, genre bending, blah blah blah, and it's almost like she's shoving it in your face because it's like she knew that she did a bad job at it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna come at me with an album bragging to be genre bending, and then I listen to it and I just think that it's a bloated and uneven Miley Cyrus album, then it's not a good time to begin with, right? I didn't love how it would jump back and forth from these slightly country influenced pop songs, just in the way they had like acoustic guitar on them. Every now and then you get a bluesy kind of like slide guitar riff or like a fiddle that kind of loops on some fucking pop music, and that's fine. It's very like a Miley Cyrus type of thing, Hannah Montana. Don't you just love Hannah Montana fucking when you're listening to Beyonce? The way that it happens, it really makes me feel like if you just took all those songs that are acoustic pushed, and left out some of the other stuff, you would have two okay separate pieces that make sense.
Yeah.
And so that bothers me. Kicking in the door with Blackbird after a fucking song about the Requiem of America, where you're all... Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of her fucking diva singing is just like she had gas or something. Like, it's laughable.
I prefer the singing on this album to a number of her other albums. It actually is like, it's not her doing like jazz vocal singing, and in the sense that like it's not necessarily accompanying the music in any sort of tonally or key specific way. Like, it feels like it's out of key and she likes to overdo it and go too high. Like, it matches the music on this album, which I appreciated.
I felt like it was like listening to a fucking, I don't know, like she was getting punched in the gut halfway through some of her... Like, there was some good singing, don't get me wrong. There was some good stuff.
No, she's got pipes, but...
Yeah, it's just not my thing. The fucking Post Malone Levi's jean commercial that literally sounded like I was shopping at fucking JCPenney or something in the mall.
With a goat.
That song made me feel like... That song made me feel like the kind of stuff that's like illegal at liquor stores. Like, you're not allowed to have like, you know, pictures of cigarettes below the counter. I was like, is this like for 8 year olds? Are they like, are they trying to brand children? Like, 7 year olds and 8 year olds need Levi jeans. Like, this is a kids bop song. This isn't for adults. Like, no adult hears this song and goes, yeah, them apple bottom jeans from them Levi's. Like, what the fuck is this? I was so irritated. That song is the worst song on this album. This is the kind of thing that we talked about when we talked about Beyonce and then inadvertently Jay-Z, because they're, you know, making music together and married, but like they're corporate shills just pushing advertising products. And like, this song is a literal jingle. It is a jingle. It isn't a song. Like, I was appalled. And I was like, man, I wanted her to not do this so that I wouldn't have to talk about it. And then it's just like, this is an advertisement for a product. Well, I made money to write this song. Like, how much did Levi's pay her? She didn't just choose Levi's jeans because it's country. She made the whole album because Levi's jeans paid for that song. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it feels.
Well, there's a QR code in the back of the album to get a coupon for Levi's.
From buy one, get one Levi's jeans. God damn it.
The whole thing makes me feel like, kind of like she's grifting middle America. You know what I mean? Like like she's looking for attention from the people that are going to respond to the American flag.
Is this how I get their attention? I don't know how to talk to middle people anymore.
Bible talk, reference fucking Willie Nelson.
They like Willie Nelson still, right?
Talk about Texas, fucking all that shit. Just it's like all the stereotypes thrown in. Like, I really don't understand the Blackbird cover or like it. It's so unnecessary.
Gross. And then a
fucking open mic.
Paul McCartney came out and was like talking about how good it was, and you're like, you're not even the real Paul McCartney.
Yo, give me attention too.
Yeah.
Well, he said it's about the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
So I mean, if that's where it's coming from, then I mean, it makes sense as a song to pick, but it doesn't make sense as a song to pick for this album unless you pay attention to the album, which is sometimes hip hop and R&B, sometimes country, sometimes Beatles infused. Early rock and roll kind of stuff, which, you know, like, I'm sure that there's internet communities right now making the argument that, like, there's weird racist groups that are like, I can't believe they stole country. And then there's other groups that are saying, well, country came from blues, which is a black art form. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that conversation is occurring. But, like, what's frustrating about this is, like, an artist like this doesn't draw attention to any of those details or the nuance of how music has come to be. They're just selling a product. And then they're letting online communities tear each other apart. Like, nothing on this album is, like, authentically black music. Necessarily, other than the artist is a black artist, like, it's just a person that seems to be a very popular billionaire selling music. That's the way it feels to me. Like, I don't understand how this is a country album. Beyonce doesn't need to say it's a country album. She can just say it's an album she's selling, and she'll sell it. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't think that this is trying to be a nuanced take on the genre and fighting racism. I think this is trying to sell Levi's jeans, and that's why it's annoying to me, because it's a billionaire shilling. I hate that. It suffers
from the fucking Taylor Swift complex that you fucking love so much, where it's like, there's one lyric where she says something along the lines that she'll protect you in the mosh pit.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Beyonce? Yes. The fuck? What are you really talking about?
She's also talking about shooting people, but she's not a gangster. She's talking about having a Bible on the dashboard, but a gun in her lap. Dog, you don't drive. Are you talking to – who are you talking to? You don't drive. In another song, right after talking about having a Bible on the dash and a gun in her lap, she's getting in her Bugatti. I do not know how this is relatable music to anyone listening. It doesn't make any sense. She's cosplaying as a poor person. It's completely, completely dismissive and pandering, and it's just like a frustrating lyrical album to listen to, but – some of the musicality was totally enjoyable to me, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know who this Shaboozy guy is, but he's on a couple tracks. I'm pretty sure all he does is go, huh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, huh, huh, psst, yeah.
If you line up this album with the Hannah Montana movie, it lines up perfectly.
That's probably true. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Fucking yeah, it is, man. I did not enjoy this album at all.
Fuck you, Beyonce. Eat that.
I didn't like this album. It's no good.
I mean, there's good production in a lot of things, like you were saying, but it just doesn't do a goddamn thing for me at all. I mean,
like, it's Beyonce. Wouldn't it be embarrassing if you fucking put it on and it sounded like it was recorded through a fucking tape deck?
Right,
of course
yeah.
It's going to sound all right, you know?
It needs to be 40 minutes, too. Like you say, it could have been two interesting projects as opposed to one really long project where the artist is telling you that they're genre bending. You don't have to tell me that you're doing that. It's clear you're doing that.
You've been jumping back and forth between fucking
Stop
Beatles
doing
covers
it.
And fucking... fucking...
And Dolly Parton covers, she said there's two different parts where that genre thing is like, oh, genre doesn't mean anything, and you can't tell me what genre is, and it's like,
I got an acoustic guitar, blink, 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 blink.
I'm a little bit country and rock and roll.
That Dolly Parton, apparently Dolly Parton rewrote Jolene. I don't know how true this is. Somebody was saying this to me, so I didn't check my facts, but, you know, whatever. I'm going to say this anyway. Fucking, apparently she rewrote this version for Beyonce, but Beyonce is not legally allowed to do the original version.
Mm. Well, so, she said she wanted, she said one of the only people that hadn't covered Jolene that she really wanted to a couple years back, apparently, was Beyonce. So, I mean, that's cool that she covered the song that Dolly Parton wanted her to cover and that she wanted to cover it, and they both got what they wanted out of it.
Yeah, sounds like shit. Fucking. I hate every cover of Jolene, though. I don't think.
Agreed.
It's another, like, what the fuck is this? Open fucking mic? Knock it the fuck off. Play me some real fucking shit. I don't want the fucking... If I want to hear that song, I'll go buy a 7-inch from 1970. Who gives a fuck?
Also, cover songs done differently are really interesting, and I can get behind those. But, like, if you're as big of a star as Beyonce, you don't need to cover a song. Once again, I think that covering songs is something that people do to, like, artistically show... Like, that would have been a way to show that you were genre-bending by covering that song differently than it is written. It is a dead-ass, direct cover of it. It would have been interesting to hear a country hip-hop version of it, you know? Like, or a country R&B, or a country Beatles version. Like, a different version, but she's just like, I'm gonna deadpan it and do it the way it is.
I'm gonna do this how it would sound at the Iowa State Fair.
Anyways, where's the 311 for sure?
Beyonce at the Grand Ole Opry.
Elbow, Audio Vertigo. I don't know shit about fuck here, so I don't know. Elbow.
It's Rolling, band this is called my album, Elbow. Dude.
This is my Robert wanted to listen to it. They're called Elbow. It's the bendy part on your arm.
This thing?
Yeah. The weenus? If it's on your,
forget about the
if
weenus.
It's on your leg, that's the weenus?
Yeah, the weenus.
I thought that was when I...
Right? You thought this was
the weenus. This is the weenus.
I'm glad I stopped saying what I was saying. All right, cool. But if it's on your leg, it's a knee.
Yeah, that's true. If it is on your leg, it's a knee.
Weird.
Good job, Crowder. Did you graduate anatomy?
I did. It's questionable.
Oh my!
My
leg elbows. Oh.
I graduated high school. That was, you know, sorta mostly. I did. They gave me my thing, my diploma, or whatever. Got it. Did some college too. That was too expensive. I couldn't finish that one.
That'll happen.
Yeah. Maybe someday. Probably not. It's too expensive. It's expensive. Elbow. Audio Vertigo. Shit fuck. What's with this band, Robert? What's with LCD's sound system playing Radiohead covering Peter Gabriel with a little bit of Beach House and Tame Impala every now and then mixed in, and then like they got the guy from the Eels doing monotone vocals? Why does it sound like Danger Mouse recorded this?
Oh, it's super clean.
Yeah
it is super clean. I mean, it sounds like LCD Sound System recorded it, really. I mean, I don't think it sounds like LCD Sound System, because LCD Sound System is sort of more
it's
punk dance.
It sounds like LCD Sound System left their fucking percussion, like their whole rhythm section behind in the studio, and then Elbow came in, and they were like, I'm gonna play Hey, play the fucking LCD sound system percussion setup. Do it. Make some little fucking clavicle sounds. Is that what they call that? Clav? It's not a clavicle, it's a clav.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's like a woodblock.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Can't make that noise. I need wood. Not like to, you can't. I can't like. Kind of does that. Does that.
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Michael Winslow.
So what's up with this though, Robert? What's going on?
Oh, I just enjoyed this album. I thought that that it was a good listen for me. I mean, I think that I like indie jangle guitar to a degree, which is a little bit of, but it's like it does a nice way. It does the nice building sort of post-punk, post-rock kind of thing, where it's like a very similar. Like motif throughout the entire song and like a lead line that it then builds on and had like interesting additional components to it as the song moved along. His lyrics are silly and he's got a silly voice, but I enjoyed the album as a whole. I don't know why I was drawn to it so heavily. I went back to their earlier albums because I had just listened to the first one, and it's honestly better than their earlier stuff because their earlier stuff sounds like,
oh god,
late 90s, early 2000s, very specific. It's like it was almost indie, but then it sounded like ballady 90s clean guitar, which is like cornball. It's almost like it was almost like John Mayer-y, which is not good. But there are moments where it's like enjoyable. Yeah, I know. So whatever. I don't know.
All I can say, that's great, Robert. That's great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. All I can say is if you're going to have a song called Knife Fight, it better end up be you singing Hallelujah, Buy Us a Pint over and over and over again, okay? Fuck that. Perry, is this worse than 311?
I don't know if it's worse than, because there is a couple tracks with some synth and shit that wasn't too bad. There's a couple tracks that had some good horn on it that I was like, all right.
Horn, dude.
Yeah, the horn was pretty cool. The horn was pretty cool.
So I don't think it's worse than.
Not worse than 311, yeah. I'll go with that. I'll agree too. So it's like a six.
Yeah.
Some people could call it like a six.
Pretty awesome. Like
I could see other people getting into it more than I did. all right. So next up we got Preview 73, New Strategies for Modern Crimes, Volume 1. When did Preview 73 become a modern jazz fusion jam band that you might see at a microbrewery on a Saturday night for a $5 fee? These guys really like 70s exploitation, or this guy really likes 70s exploitation, right? Wait, is Prefuse two people?
No, I think it's one guy.
I think one guy.
I feel like he's like a Brazilian DJ or something.
Cool album. Yep.
I think that's fair. I mean, it's clearly electronic though. Like it's a little more chaotic in a way that's clearly computerized than a straight up jazz album is that you might hear at a microbrewery in Seattle. But I don't know. I thought this album was nice to put on in the background and float by and.
Prefuse, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Does 100%. Interesting things with his choices and like extends notes and takes away the rest of the instrumentation to release it back into the song, you know, or backwards drums or guitar that like actually aren't just cheesy attempts at backwards drums and guitar, you know, like it's actually fitting. I'd
say this is one of those albums that if you already have stuff like this in your collection, then. I'd suggest grabbing this one on vinyl, you know, if you just happen to see it. Maybe not put it on, like, first thing on your list, but worth having.
I slipped through.
Cool sound. It also does stuff that, I mean, like, it does jazzy stuff, but it also does post-rock type of things, too, in the electronic format. And it has, like, tortoise-like moments from, like, TNT or something, which is cool, too. I would absolutely be like, hey, man, check this out.
Perry, is it worse than 311?
No, sir.
Kim Gordon, The Collective. Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth makes an album. Is it industrial trap music, I suppose? And then she sort of raps she does a Kim Gordon thing. She talks on it. There's some talking. I was very much surprised by this album.
I can't tell if I like it or not. Like, I can't tell if this is bad or good, to be honest with you. Like, it feels like a joke, but then it's also Kim Gordon doing, like, being earnest. And, like, that the first single is her just, like, naming off objects in a house because, like, life is silly and mundane, you know? Like, I think that she's, like, pointing at, like, capitalism and the mundanity of life. And but, like...
What, Kim Gordon? No.
But the way she... Because I know her... musical, like, au revoir or whatever, like, I know where she comes from. It makes sense, but, like, if I was a first-time listener, I'd be like, is this person serious, or is this a child just reading off of a list? Like, I don't know. So it's, like, it was hard for me to, like, I at first I was like, I don't know if this is good, but then by the end I was on board. I was like, okay, now she's leaned into this. She's being very earnest, and the music is actually, like, really grimy and dirty and fun to listen to.
I really like the bass on that first Bye Bye. It's just super nasty sounding.
I like how dirty all of this is. Like industrial, but also like obviously like trap and like EDM influenced. Mm-hmm. It just at a certain point, like when I first put it on, I was actually like, whoa, this is like, you know, you wanted to be Death Grips kind of. All right, let's go. Let's do this.
Oh my God. I wrote that in the notes.
And then like I got a chance, like that was like I was doing shit when I put it on. And then I put it on later where I could actually hear it. And that first track where is it? Lip mask, eye mask, earplugs, travel shampoo, conditioner. And that was the point where I was like, oh yeah, that's right. This is Kim Gordon.
Yep.
And this doesn't really fit. And like, it doesn't, like, this is kind of that. That's kind of bad. That was kind of bad. But also, you're Kim Gordon. I know you don't give a fuck if it's kind of bad. You know, I never loved Sonic Youth's lyrics or their delivery of vocals. That's not why I listen to Sonic Youth necessarily. So I guess there's that, but it kind of makes her seem like a guest on her own album. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can kind of see that. Because it just kind of... You just don't expect... Well, again, maybe it's because I'm used to Sonic Youth and hearing her, like, that's just not the kind of music I'm used to hearing with her singing or any kind of her vocals in the back. So it was a little off, but at the same time, I don't know. There were some parts where I was like, I think taking that style of music and knowing where she comes from is like, all right, you're just fucking around right here. That's all right. That's kind of cool.
This album
noisy.
Is three steps away from being a bad Seven Dust album is the problem to me. Like, it's so close to being the worst nu metal album that it could ever be. So, like, when you compare it to Death Grips, like, it's not because it's Death Grips light. But, like, if you just change some of the pitch and tone and effects on any of these instruments and you just added one more, it would be a disastrous clusterfuck of an album. So the fact that she was able to, like, use emptiness and space and be very simple, like, and this feels more like art music than it does like just pandering ripoff music she stole from other people. So I mean, I don't know, I think that that's a hard line to toe, being an artist who's 64 and mumbling over music that doesn't seem like it's yours, you know. I enjoyed the album as a whole.
There's a song, Psychedelic Orgasm.
Yeah, yep.
Where she just lists magic mushrooms, LSD, MDMA, mushrooms. And there's like an effect on her voice. It's fucking ridiculous. Well worth the listen. Okay, yeah, I think we're all kind of conflict. Perry, is it worse than 311?
I don't think it's worse than. I think it has enough where it is very, it's interesting where, like you said, it deserves a listen, and then choose on your own, but I don't think it's worse than.
I've put it on a couple times.
I'm telling you, that first track, when it hits that nasty bass, dude, it's actually like, all right. And then she just keeps listing shit, and you're like, okay.
Okay, yeah, your makeup and your vibrator, I heard, and a hoodie, black jeans and blue jeans. I think she's packing for a trip. She's going on tour for this album. which is going to be her favorite tour ever, because all she has to do is have somebody hit play. And then she gets up there and she sits down and she goes, blue jeans, black jeans.
Literally just like on a chair or like crisscross applesauce.
It's like she goes up on stage and does girl talk and just has like, a laptop covered in like saran wrap while everyone just mobs her and she just like talks at them in her like whisper mumble.
Yep. Sounds great. All right. Next, Nils Fromm.
From?
Yeah, Nils, I think it's Nils Fromm. I don't.
So the album's no, called that Day. From.
It could be Neil too, but
I don't know.
Nils Fromm.
He plays piano that's all like, bing, bing.
Wait for it.
Bing,
wait
bing,
for it.
Bing. I was surprised you hadn't heard this guy before. Honestly, like it seems
maybe
like
I had,
that
and
you'd fall asleep to.
About
that's fair. That's fair.
I probably this, have. I like this, ambient music, and I like ambient piano, when that's what this is. But this album, the whole time, it's like, bing.
I love it so much, dude. Oh, my God, click, I love clack. It.
Click, 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 click.
It sounds bong. Like my computer when I'm clicking the mouse.
Fucking, oh, my God, it's frustrating. And like, it's
oh, man, I love
cool.
that.
Like... Because he obviously manipulates it somehow, and it's obvious that some of it's, I don't know, like at like a part of the environment he's in. I just, man, I can't. I just, it, like.
You can, like, hear his mouth opening or breathing.
Yeah.
And
the chair squeaking, and every time he moves, his fingers on
the
keys. The
sustain pedal.
It sounds like, and like some of that's fine in a song, but it's almost like he mic'd those things on purpose. And then sometimes it sounds like there's like echo on them, or like maybe he's in a cafe and the fucking Starbucks Reserve barista is making his single origin light roast double fucking shot latte fucking caramel supreme. While he plays the piano and records because his uncle owns the place or some shit. I don't fucking know. It fucking pissed me the fuck off, man. Even I tried different headphones. Like in the earbuds, it was awful because it was just like, why is my head stuck by the fucking pedals of the piano?
Oh, man, I love
that. You know?
That.
And like that's kind of the coolest part of the album is those sounds. So I was frustrated with it. Artsy shit.
Yeah, very artsy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's very slow.
Compositions were
very
fine,
artsy.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have anything like terrible to say about it, but I also don't think I'd put it on again. Like,
I unabashedly love
why
this
wouldn't
album,
you?
Dude.
Oh, that's...
I.
But see, if he went more like that, that'd be interesting because that sounds like hella getting into that soundscape where it speed up and get and then yeah, something like that would be interesting. But
it
just was
me...
so. Go ahead, dude.
It made me feel like in a film when. A character is clearly in a place that they could impossibly not be having just left another. Like if you're like in a strand of trees and it's a thicket of a forest and then all of a sudden you're standing over an oceanside, like there's no way in continuity that a character could be there in the last scene and now in this scene if it's meant to be a continuous shot. And I thought that like it just creeps. It creeps and it creeps in a compelling way. And because of all of the like effects you're describing, like the like, the reality of the room, whereas normally music is meant to be produced in such a way that like you don't hear anything but what they specifically target, made it more of an interesting listen to me because these compositions aren't necessarily the most incredible musical ambient sad movements, but like all of the fact that it's in the space it is makes it feel like you're in the room, and being in the room to me felt special and I enjoyed the album for that. So, like, in and like exact opposition to your feeling, I thought that that made it more powerful of a listening experience. Yeah, give me more paper crumbling that for some reason he is doing that with.
Artsy shit. Artsy shit. It's fine. It's just, it's artsy shit. Fucking.
Snobby shit.
Give a fuck. Perry's at worse than 311.
No, it's artsy, like better artsy than 311 can ever say.
Nerd, fucking nerd. Play me the clear fucking piano, nerd. Schoolboy Q, Blue Lips. Schoolboy made an album. Again, it's been. I feel like the guy makes like one album every 5 years or something. Maybe I just don't pay enough attention. All I ever knew was Oxymoron.
Collard, the next one greens. Wasn't
very good. Yeah. Last song. That song never went away.
It did not.
And that was like all he had. Like that album had some fucking good stuff on it, other than that.
I mean, yeah.
But I think this is actually one of the better Schoolboy Q albums. The new one, Blue Lips. Blue Lips. The blue. You look at the cover. What's it?
He's not referencing Blue Waffle, is he? Yes. That's an old school internet thing.
When you eat blueberry waffles, you get blue lips.
Yeah.
Schoolboy Q. I mean, it's not like a 100% the greatest album. It sure likes to
I was going to say, it's got some sick beats, though.
It likes to do that thing where it's like, here's some jazzy shit, right? And like, some like weird, like kind of abstract.
Early R&B.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom,
bass.
And it's dope. It's dope. Like, it brings it. It does. But it also brings things like, bring the hose, bring the money bags in. Cool, buddy. where the fuck is
where's there a Bible on your dash?
I wish.
There's a sketch where they're talking about like they're using the F word and they're like, oh, I'm not gay, and it's just like, ugh, come on, man, this sucks. What, like, and it's a skit too. Like, it's not a skit, but it's like a conversation in the background into a track, and it's just like, ugh, yep. Jesus Christ, like, this is just dumbass bravado bullshit.
Marijuana, hydro, pussy, ho, ass, titties. Marijuana, hydro.
Shut
pussy
up, is that a lyric? I didn't catch that.
Titties.
Just sounds like he's got Tourette's at that point.
that's from the song Foe with Absol. Oh, yeah. And I think that might even be Absol's line. It's also the one where he keeps saying, like, I'm going to say be like that, and it be like that, and it be like that because I said it be like that, be like that, and then it be like that. I didn't have anything here to say in my rhymes, so, you know, sometimes it be like that. And now I got to put it on the album, but I'm stuck with it. And sometimes it just be like that.
And it's got like an Aphex drum line in it. Like, it's got like a...
Like, the beat's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's like a simplistic piano that keeps going, and then like that, like, spastic drums that keep like coming in and fading like out in different ways.
Yeah, IDM-ish kind of timing. On top of, and it's like a jazzy piano line, but it's eerie and creepy, like someone's about to, you know, stab you from behind in a dark room with a piano, you know?
Yeah. So it's a decent album either way, I think. Perry, is it worse than 311?
Oh, no. The beats alone make it where it's very entertaining.
Hmm. You got that bass. All right. Tierra Whack. Worldwide Whack.
Oh.
The Whack. 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 Whack.
I like this album, man. This album was an enjoyable listen.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed.
I did not mind it.
It's after a little bit, I got a little bit sick of it, and I do feel like I was a little misled at the beginning of the album, where there wasn't as many, like the second song.
Misbehave is slick.
Misbehave, yeah, hell yeah, it does.
Yeah, although I don't really like. I can never behave like that. That shit kind of annoys me. Some of the lyrics kind of annoy me.
One point she's the shit, and it's like in a way that's like, I'm the doo-doo shit. It's like,
what is that shit I smell? I am that shit you smell.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah, it. Yeah. Yep.
That you pooped yourself. What's the poo-poo? What's it? Ew, I went poop, you know?
I mean, come on. I'd rather smell Chanel in a mosh pit than what the fuck normally you smell in a mosh pit. That'd be
Yeah, for sure.
And then my favorite, I think, track was actually Difficult. I think those were one of the ones where the lyrics were actually very like, oh, shit, that is fucking... I can relate to that. Living is fucking hard.
Burning Brains got me real good with that weird fucking... I was like, twice. Yeah. I was sitting there smoking, you know? And like, whatever that voice that happened, I just died laughing. Like, in a great way. In a way where I was like, well, that's delightful. That was fucking weird as shit. Give me more weird shit like that. So I enjoy, yep. There's a lot of, even if a song starts off and it's kind of like, oh, I don't know about this R&B, it's kind of boring. Sooner or later, something happens in the production or the vocals that is different enough to catch the ear.
She also has a good range of ability. Like, her singing is actually pretty great, and she can rap well. Like, I don't always think that her lyrics are, like, incredible, but, like, her ability to transition between different phrases and voices and styles is cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'm interested to see more. The album did get a little boring, I felt. It dragged out.
Peters out kind of by the, like, later half. There is a little bit more.
Yeah. Last half.
Like, 27 Club, I thought was going to be a little different than it was, and it was super slow and kind of drawn out, and I was like, oh, I was expecting some references and things like that around the whole 27 Club, but
I don't know if you guys did. You guys hear the first album? Just as I think it's probably important in terms of continuity and how this album flows. Probably like the first album was like a mini movie, and so it's like very quick, short bursts of song that like transition into other songs, and like that was like the whole gimmick of the first album. And it's actually really cool. It's like 25 minutes or 20 minutes long, and like they're all quick little bursts of a song into another that like fit well as a whole piece, but then it's a visual piece of art. So I wonder if there's anything associated with this other than the music that might make some of the like, oh, this is sort of like that last song in a way that's like blasé. Not to get, that doesn't like give it free rein or like it's okay that some of this is like this song sounds similar to that last song, but like it might affect the experience. I wonder. Well, so
she has a couple music videos that I was like, because I got interested on the Chanel Pit, and there is a music video for that, but I think there's only like two or three other ones.
Okay, so it's nothing... traditional album then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perry's, it wasn't 311?
No, I thought it was very interesting. A lot of like crazy stuff. There was a couple tracks that caught me off guard, so not at all.
Not worse than 311. Fortet, 3. I shit you not, I was listening to this song, and the next thing I knew, I was talking to a customer service representative. I think I got a new computer coming or something. Maybe my teeth are getting cleaned. I'm not sure.
I have a scheduled appointment somewhere with a proctologist, possibly.
It's weird how you have to, in order to finish listening to the album, tell them to put you back on hold. I wonder if that was on purpose.
They're selling it to the companies that do the hold music.
Yeah, what was this album made to be the demo song presets on a new synthesizer I don't know about?
Jeez.
Dang, dude, brutal.
It's fine. It's kind of fun.
It absolutely sounds like a watered down version of an earlier Fortet. Like, this could be Rounds, but like he took out the fact that it doesn't feel like it has a time signature and put a time signature in it. It was like, I'm gonna make this normal and like stop it from being like, oh man, it just stopped for no reason, and now here's just like a cymbal crash, and like here's that harp effect that he likes to use, which he uses all throughout this album. And now it's back into piano again. And also, why is there another piano on top of that at the wrong time? This is just like, nah, this is going to be like in a club where you're falling asleep. So here you go.
Yeah, buddies. It's like super, super laid back, almost like ambient house, jungle. But like I said, the ambient part. So like, you know, that ambient music that has drums that nobody likes. Because that's not the point of ambient music. There's no percussion instruments in ambient music. If there is, it's a piano. You know, that's slightly different. So, oh, fuck this. Perry, fucking, is it worse than 311?
Borderline, but no. Like, it's still, like, there's a lot more things that I'd put on certain scenarios before 311.
All right. All right, we're getting to the meat and potatoes here. Almost done. Scott Stapp. Higher, we already did that. Fuck, thank God.
Yeah, what?
Fucking. Moorbother, the great bailout. I think Moorbother maybe doesn't like British monarchy.
Colonialism, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Huh. This is a hell of a fucking cheery listen. with some like real organized song structure.
And, couldn't get more organized than this.
Banger ass beats, dude. Like super clean recording. Good stuff. Fuck it. Oh, Perry, man. Is it worse than 311?
This one was a tough one, man. Like, it was just like, I'd rather listen to Fortet again, personally.
It's a poetry reading over, like, spooky glass breaking. I don't know. It's not, not an album. I mean, it is.
It's like dark freeform jazz that sometimes has spooky drum machine.
I guess it'd be a little, I listened to it, if I knew what I was getting into, it might have been a better like headspace.
Moorbother does this, so I kind of expected something like this.
I had no idea what I was getting into when I put it on, because I put it on when I was like going for a walk, blazed, and I was
God,
this is not what
wrong choice, buddy.
Yes, exactly.
What I walked to the weed store. Today.
Oh my God. The guilt of colonialism over centuries of time and like black slavery in all of like Western culture is like a lot to handle on your way to get a sandwich. Jesus. Like, yeah. It's an incredible. She's an incredible poet, though. And it was very haunting and personal and interesting and like a great fuck you. And like, all the money on the second track
that shit's dope.
It's so good. Like, and like talking about like. It putting in their veins and just, it's so good. Where's the money? Like and just the whisper in the background, like what makes it musical is the interesting ways that she uses her voice on top of herself. I thought that was very cool, but like, I wouldn't just put this on to show to a friend, you know, just, this isn't party music. This is cerebral
artsy
art
shit.
Music. Yeah. It's an artsy poetry
shit. Goddamn artsy shit.
Artsy poetry shit, which
is it
is
worse
fantastic.
Than artsy shit.
Yeah. It's not worth
the next album, artsy shit.
Yeah. So wait, was it worse than 311?
No.
Like
okay. It is very artsy, but it's not worse.
Be great in a fucking a gallery or something. Julia Holter, Something in the Room She Moves, with this lovely abstract cover of
two people wrestling.
I think that person's wiping the other person's ass.
Whilst wrestling.
I don't think that's a legal move. Just grab you right between the between the cheeks.
This is WWE art, man. Dude. This is WWE art. Worldwide Entertainment, dude.
Woof. So it's there. Guys like flute and stuff. Wind chimes.
I like Yaz flute.
Yeah, this is a good album. It's another artsy shit album.
Very artsy.
Very tranquil though. Although there's sometimes where like all of a sudden you're like, whoa, there's percussion and kind of like almost pop dancey percussion. Super varied with the instrumentation and then lack thereof. She was just in town, or maybe it's coming up, but I don't have the money to go. I'm kind of bummed. I really wanted to go.
I bet it would be awesome to see this show, because I'm sure a lot of this is live instrument, right? Like, some of it feels programmed electric, but it builds in a really interesting way, and like wavy synths, and like you said, the percussion like comes and goes, but like, you know, on a song like Spinning Towards the End, it's like there's like a clap effect. Like drum rhythm that's going on. Maybe it's a bass line, but it also sounds more like percussive. And like she wanders around the tracks a lot, and then they'll end with these like sort of big explosions, or they'll just like some tracks just aren't even, they're barely present. They're like, they move through like almost like an ambient track. I thought this was an awesome album, but also like not an album you just put on for anybody to enjoy, because it's definitely something that make you have to like sort of think about and sit on.
It's a nighttime album.
Yeah.
You could probably put it on if there was enough people in the room that nobody was paying attention to the music.
Or if everybody's kind of like calming down for the evening, you know, that kind of thing. Definitely. Yeah.
There's enough oddity in here, though, that would draw you in at a party that would make it like sort of a bummer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's more like chilling at the end and there's only like a few people left.
Yeah, like five, six people around the table outside smoking a joint.
Yep. Coming through the window, coming out the window, barely.
Fucking A.
Right, yeah.
All I know is I completely messed up my listening pattern of these bands and ended up, like, stacking these artsy ones together unbeknownst to me. So, like, going from More Mother to this one, and it was just very, like, oh.
At least this one was calming.
Yes.
You know, because exactly More Mother's like, feel your fucking guilt, motherfucker.
I was gonna say,
did you pay
like,
for it
around,
yet?
I was walking around the lake going, oh, fuck, I'm like half white. This sucks.
Oh, that was us. Oh. Okay, so, Perry, is it worse than 311?
No, not at all.
The Julia, not the subject matter of More Mother. I'm talking about the album.
No. We're on par. The subject matter, yes.
And the only person thinking what Crowder said was Crowder.
That was a joke.
I know.
It was a bad joke.
I know.
Why did you
that was the last thing he was talking about. And then I was literally like, is it worse than 311? Fuck.
That's the joke, Ted Danson.
Who are Ted Danson? Is Ted Danson?
Yeah, we're gonna
person 311.
No,
well, we're gonna open up a restaurant. Open up a restaurant with Ted Danson, bro.
Word. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
body moving. Body moving. Okay, last one. It's kind of weird. This is the last one. Whatever. Pissed Jeans, half divorced. Which I mean, it seems about right. As it seems like somebody that's half divorced would make this album. I don't know. Anybody want to take this, or should I just
start? It's punk rock music, and it does a good job of being punk rock music. I guess it's like better in the fact that the musicians are like capable and they're not playing punk rock just to like give a message. But like, it's almost towards the middle, it starts to get like there's some like pop punk shit ish, and it's funny. Yeah. And it was like, wait, what happened to the earlier stuff that was like almost like a little hardcore? This is what's going on with this. What is going on with this?
It's weird that it's like Cali 90s, late 90s, or I guess some late 80s, but SoCal punk rock, punk, pop
without the wow into the song.
When it starts off with like the fucking killing all the wrong people, I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Let's do it.
And this band hasn't made anything for a minute. And it's not this album seems to have all the heart and energy to it. But before they were more like post grunge, sludgy, and sometimes there'd be a fast song, but it wasn't this like it's a lot of major keys. You know, that it almost sounds happier, and the lyrics sometimes are really fucking bad. Like the song "Everywhere Is Bad."
Which, oh my god!
Like, Dad, we know you don't like Cleveland, okay? We know,
just
Dad.
Name fucking cities. That's all.
and say why they're bad. Seattle is too wet.
Yeah, Seattle. That was a good one. I was waiting for any other ones I knew, but.
Hell? Too many dudes.
Yep.
What?
It was
and there would be like they would ask like Chicago. What about Chicago?
The group going Chicago like in the background.
Yeah. It was like what the fuck, guys? This isn't what I wanted. What? Who is this for?
Dude, I was hoping junk time was going to be better. Yeah,
I like junk time. It's dope. Yep.
I don't mind it. This is my junk time.
It had like three movements to it, and there was like a solo type thing that happened, if I remember right. It's not that this was a terrible album. It was just there's some terrible things about this album.
They like Perry. The Dead Kennedys.
I thought it was one of my better ones at listening, or not one of the better ones, but it was definitely a good one to listen to when I was upbeat. There was a lot of like that. The fucking Everywhere Is Bad one made me laugh like crazy just because of that. It's a callback to that cheesy, just like let's call out a bunch of city names and. So no, it's not worse than, but things that
like the. Last song where he says something like, yeah, I'm leaving town. I'm saying peace out.
Oh, yeah.
like, hey, fellow kids.
Yeah,
you
right.
Like, listen to my Piss Jeans band.
Well, you're not cool unless you pee your pants. So.
Oh, my God. Good.
So, delightful. It's not worse than 311. Everybody's
Junk Time alone makes this album not worse.
Junk Time.
Hell yeah, dude. Junk Time slaps.
When I'm in the shower, you know, I start on my face and work my way down to the pits. Get the chest,
Junk
and
Time.
I'm like, junk
it's my
time.
Junk Time.
Fuck. Just full of bad jokes today.
Dad jokes today.
Dad joke city.
Dad jokes all the way down, man.
There's Piss Jeans for Piss Dads. This is
like
the
band
album,
dads,
right? This is totally the one that's like, well, I mean,
if it was a dad album, the bass player needed a bass made from jeans with a piss stain on it.
He's half divorced, so you know it's half dad time, half bad time. You know what I mean?
It's kid time.
It's only junk time on every other weekend. You know? Otherwise, it's
every
kids.
Other holiday. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Can't have junk time this week. Jennifer,
the kids are coming over. Yeah. I hate Chicago, and Cleveland. After all, it's rainy here in Seattle.
It's so wet in Seattle.
They're making me fucking wash my jeans.
You're not even supposed to wash jeans.
You know, at least these guys aren't trying to sell me jeans.
Right? Fucking A, dude.
If they are, I guess they'd be like art jeans because they're pissed, but I don't know.
They'd have that, like, distressed piss stain
jeans
for, like,
in the
$300.
MoMA. Jeans in the MoMA, dude. Just, like, set in a corner with urine on them. Urine.
They're rock hard.
Why do these art jeans smell so bad? Those are the piss jeans. So, below the banana tape to the wall.
I could go get you, like, three pairs of piss jeans on one walk right now. Give me 30 minutes. I'll be back. I swear. I just got to walk down, like, two alleys.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them's not even an alley. I just got to go to the fucking Ave.
I could make some just because I drink enough water. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but then it's not good piss jeans. Because then it's just going to be, like, water piss jeans. You need, like,
You want it to
dehydrated.
Like,
I've been
yellow.
Timing for fucking 3 days in a row, and I just had a beer piss jeans. That.
Yeah.
I couldn't find that, but good luck finding that. three pairs in 30 minutes is like one per 10 minutes. That's a lot of pairs per 10 minutes.
The piss jeans I would be finding you would be the kind that were like, you know, I drank a 40 or two that I begged the money for, and then I smoked some fentanyl. And I passed out standing up, pissed myself. And then they probably shit. Oh, my God, dude. There was a fucking... So I'm at work the other day, right? And this regular comes in. Actually, that guy Gabe that was going to do the show this week. And maybe he'll do an episode. I don't know. We'll see. Fucking, you know, it's fun to have guests on. Who knows? Sees a guy in a blanket, like a sleeping bag, very visibly jerking off, right?
Oh, classic. Okay.
Like down the block comes in, he's like, yeah, there's a guy jerking off on the corner. Just letting you know. Like, yeah, okay. Great. Fucking, he leaves. He says, so I get a text that says, hey, you're about to leave. That dude is still jerking off.
I was going to say, is he still wanking it?
Leave work. And sure enough, I see a dude there fucking like, I don't think he's wanking it anymore, but there's definitely a dude right where he said he would be with a like sleeping bag blanket thing. And it's pulled over him. His hands are under. But what it was there that I did notice was a plastic bag full of human feces that was steaming. So,
well, it's not that hard if it's like chilly out and it was new. It's not that far.
It was liquidy.
Well, I'm sure his diet's not going to allow him to have, like, there's probably not much fiber in his diet.
Man. So I'll say they might, these art genes that I find might not just be piss genes. They might be genes.
Well, that's how you get that distressed look. Like, right? Like, you
gotta on your face. Get real distressed looking around here. When you
I hope that person find some is hobo doing all shit right.
Pants.
I hope that they're person not. Is doing all right.
They're fucking not, Robert. Holy shit. What are you talking about?
I know, dude. I hope that they...
At least you guys didn't have like a big Hep C outbreak in your homeless shit. I remember down in San Diego, there was a big Hep C thing where they had to go down and like literally bleach the fucking sidewalk.
No!
They were literally like with big, and like I've seen it in San Francisco before where like at night during like on Market Street, they'll just be out there with power washers, right?
But like, so
these were different because they had like bleach and shit and they were just, it was.
I thought Hep C was a bloodborne illness, whereas A and B were a shit disease. So like, you're not just going to get Hep C unless like Hep C is like sharing needles. You know what I mean? Like it would be going through that community more likely than it would be like.
Yeah, this wasn't about shit. This was that there was a huge Hep C outbreak.
Dang,
period.
Dude, that's rough. God damn, America's a bleak hellscape.
Yeah.
Can't even help the weakest elements,
it's those
dude.
Southern California cities, man. Like people literally ship their homeless out to them. You know, like here's $100.
It's a livable space, though. But it's you can live in that temperature. You can't live in New York City in the wintertime as a homeless person successfully unless you know what you're doing. You know,
they do though. Like there's people in Minneapolis.
Oh no, I'm sure. I'm saying, but like most of those people, if they had the choice, would go somewhere else where they wasn't as difficult to live. That's all I'm saying. It's like so.
100%.
But like politicians doing greasy things, like sending like Giuliani sending people away to different places in New York State or whatever, like getting rid of homeless people instead of trying to figure out how to pay for them. You know,
DeSantis and the Texas governor were two very known ones to do that.
Oh yeah, they were shipping migrants around the country.
Migrants, but like Texas was also doing migrants and straight up homeless people.
Oh my god!
Like just hey, here's $100 and a bus ticket to San Diego.
Ghouls, dude.
Okay.
Fuck those people. Worse than 311.
Worse than 311.
Yeah, they are way worse than 311.
Fucking scumbags.
Well, this episode took a turn.
Are we doing anything for the movie this month? Did we pick a? thing, or are we not?
I don't think we picked one.
Not yet, but we will.
We can talk about it in a second once we get out of here.
Off air,
We'll make it a surprise.
Talk about it off air, but
big surprise for everybody. We got a big stinking fucking load of surprise for you.
Ooh yeah, full of fucking any kind of disease you want.
Before we get to speaking of hepatitis C, before we get to the Jimmy Buffett. Which is what we're covering this month. So, if anybody
Jimmy
wants
Buffett?
To listening,
I thought it was Jimmy Buffet. Oh my god,
we're not.
It's not.
We're not eating.
Says you.
Okay, some cheeseburgers in paradise. Get some boat drinks, some margaritas. Get some Margaritaville margaritas. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm excited.
Pina Colada Berg. I wrote that song 5 years before him.
Did you say Pina Colada Bird?
Yeah.
Cloaca?
It's from the movie Club Dread. Like Bill Paxton's character is a very washed up Jimmy Buffett kind of character, and he has a song called Pina Colada Bird.
Pina Colada Bird. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's a good joke. It's a good joke.
Okay. Well, so maybe we'll watch that. We'll find out next time on 311.
Dragon Ball Z.
It might be worse than Toot. Toot. Website Toot.
Ooh, export.
Cloaca, bird pussy.
Export.